Hollywood Feed Delivery. 500 squeaky balls for bingo?
Bingo, what did you do?
Oh, and there's more. One XL memory foam dog bed, 75 bully sticks, and a mountain of toys still in the car.
Bingo, did you really order online from Hollywood Feed again?
From tasty treats to tail-wagging toys, get everything your pet loves delivered same day. Check your address and order now at HollywoodFeed.com. Hollywood Feed, more wagging, less waiting.
Merkle Media.
What does the goddamn line say, Tony?
Please do not use gendered language.
Then what? I'll be arrested, put in airport jail.
Well, you're going completely sideways, man.
It's a big club, and you ain't in it.
How dare you?
Mr. Speaker, the President of the United States.
I'm Chris Hansen with Dave on NBC.
Jack Mary is Tack Theratrix.
Hi, I'm Spartacus.
Keith Jackson, Sacramento, he, him.
Steven Seagal.
Sex offender guy.
I'm Keith Morris.
This is Muammar Gaddafi.
I'm Rick James, bitch.
Sorting through the lies.
The hijacker's passport was found blocks from the World Trade Center crash site, if you can believe that.
We cannot track $2.3 trillion in transactions.
And uncovering the centuries-long plan for world domination.
Learning about Cuba, having some food.
Let's talk about Chinese people.
Have you ever been in a Turkish prison? Swangles in Fort Lauderdale.
I have sent six of my Libyan missiles to blow up the Sears hardware department.
Nothing could be more fun than jumping off a cliff with two German bisexuals.
Oh, you English are so superior, aren't you?
Thank you, comrade.
And now, macroaggressions.
That's what assholes call it.
With your host.
Buddy, I don't know who you are, but you're about to get chlamydia.
Charlie Robinson.
Hey, Whitey, where's your hat?
You want to drop the blame on Charlie and say it's all Charlie's fault?
He was a retard.
I get some goddamn diuretic.
Welcome to Macroaggressions. I'm your host, Charlie Robinson. If you are watching us on Rockfin, Odyssey, Band.video, Vigilante.tv, or you're listening wherever podcasts are served, thanks a million. We appreciate it. While you're listening to this podcast, you can rate the show. If you think we've earned 5 stars, please give us the rating and write a little review. And share the show if you think you know somebody that might like it. If you are going to be in New York City the weekend of 9/11, September 9th, 2023. Let's talk 9/11. Let's talk at the Free World NYC event being hosted by Billy Ray Valentine, happening in New York on September 9th. You can get tickets at eventbrite.com. Just search the word Free World NYC, or there's a link in the description of this episode. You can just click on it and it'll take you there. I'll be speaking. Billy Ray Valentine will be hosting and speaking. Gardner Goldsmith, John Brisson, Tony Arterburn, Wayne McCroy, Don Jeffries, Richard Gage. It ought to be a good one. There's going to be, I've had the benefit of watching Richard Gage do one of his presentations at an Acapulco. It was a standing ovation. So get there if you can. If you're going to be in New York City, come on out and let's talk about it. Also, thanks to our sponsors that make the show possible. EMP Shield is building a device that works on all kinds of things: your home, your car, motorhome if you've got one, boat if you have one, generators, whatever you've got, you can install EMP Shield. It'll protect against EMPs, solar flares, and lightning. It is many times more efficient than a single-use military design. It can handle up to 40 EMP strikes. So take a look at it. What you can do is you can go to empshield.com and just read up about it. If you think you like it, use the promo code MACRO. You'll definitely save yourself a lot of money doing that. And you can get bundle packages. You can put it if you've got your house and your car. If you want to do that, go for it. You can fit it to your house through the circuit breaker with just 4 wires. It installs like a type 2 surge protector. There's installation videos on their website, installation videos online all over the place, or you can just have an electrician come out and set you up. So do this. If you're interested, I think it might be helpful for you. go to empshield.com and use the promo code MACRO on your way out. Also, thanks to Legal Shield, since we're sticking with the theme of shielding, they've got lawyers for you. Do you need one? How's your will? Is it ready to go in the event that you get killed by one of Joe Biden's dumb policies? If that happens tomorrow and you don't have a will, guess what? His state gets involved in your affairs in America. Oh, no, you don't want that. So I'll tell you what. Legal Shield has been in business for half a century in Canada and the United States, and they'll get you access to an attorney in your area that can sort you out with all those documents. If you need your will, if you need a financial power of attorney, a medical directive, any of those things, we saw what happened with COVID. You can wind up on a ventilator without any sort of documentation telling the doctors otherwise. So I'm not trying to scare you. I'm just trying to get real about the situation here. If you don't have your documents in order, things can go wrong. But I'll tell you, it's a couple $1,000 to knock out all these documents. You know, you don't want to spend that money probably on a lawyer. So give Legal Shield a look and see what you think. It's $30 a month. Get you access to a high-powered attorney in your area that can knock out all of these documents for you, like right away. It seems like a very reasonable plan, but I'll tell you what, you're going to be the one to decide. So do this. Go to the website, take a look. Don'tgetpushedaround.com is the website. The link is in the show notes as well. You can just click on it and tell me what you think. They built that specifically for us. You can get all kinds of things done. If you run a small business and you need a small business legal plan, you can do that. If you carry a gun, they have documentation that could be pretty helpful for you there. If you need Identity Shield or something like that, that's an option. So there's a Legal Shield membership, and then there's all these a la carte items that you can add on to your plan if you need them. So go to the website, read all about it, www.don'tgetpushedaround.com. Well, Brownie, you're doing a heck of a job. You know what that's from, right? Not from some shitty movie that you watched, although it felt like it during the Bush administration. No, that was George W. Bush talking to Michael Brown. Michael Brown was the head of FEMA, and this was during Katrina. And George Bush said that line, and everyone looked at each other and just said, "Will you please stop talking? Just stop. He's not doing a heck of a job. He's doing the worst possible job you could do. I could find kindergartners that would have done a better job than Michael Brown at FEMA. He was doing such a bad job that it made you think he was doing it intentionally," which he probably was. So that's what we're going to talk about today. Not Bush, not Brownie, but we're going to talk about FEMA, because FEMA is an agency that is held out as, you know, who you call when things go bad, when you had, it's a Federal Emergency Management Agency, right? So this is who gets involved when you're having an emergency. Oh, good. Like the paramedics are going to come out. Well, if you've been hit by a car and somebody calls the paramedics and they show up, they'll at least be able to help you. I have seen no proof that FEMA can help anybody. It's like, we're the government and we're here to help. Like, no, thank you. I'm fine. I'll just bleed out here on the street without you. Because when FEMA gets involved, the wheels fall off. And like I said with Michael Brown, it's almost as if it's by design. And when you know what we know about the government and how they work, you could maybe write off some of it to incompetence. You know, the mistakes were made. And there are a lot of dumb people working in government, so it is reasonable that they could make a mistake. But when the mistakes happen, every single time there's an emergency, over and over again, and your job is to be ready in an emergency, it seems unreasonable to me that you would fuck up everything every single time. Once or twice, fine. Mistakes were made, as they say, right? But this is becoming a pattern. And when you take a look at what FEMA has been involved in over the years, I think you can come to a different conclusion that they're actually in the emergency management business. I mean, I think that they're in the continuity of government business. And I think that I'm not just pulling that out of my ass. I have plenty of documentation to back this up. So let's talk about FEMA a little bit. We're going to do kind of a two for one here, because part of what we're going to get into in the second half of this is Rex 84. And Readiness Exercise 84 was very polarizing. It was known, well, it wasn't polarizing at the time. It wasn't until you kind of looked back on it and people started to suspect that there might have been something else going on with Rex 84. And in fact, they were correct. That there was. So we're going to do this. We're going to talk about FEMA. We're going to talk about what Ollie North and the crew was up to back in the mid 80s. And then you're going to see that, you know, obviously FEMA is still here. The organization still exists. The people have changed, but the incompetence strangely remains, which is weird, right? So it was started in 1979 by Jimmy Carter. And has about an $18 billion a year budget. So you'd think they'd be able to get something done. It was its own standalone agency up until 2003 when it was folded into Department of Homeland Security. Now, Department of Homeland Security didn't exist until 2003. It was created in the aftermath of 9/11. And so what we got was the Homeland Security Act of 2002, which created the Department of Homeland Security. And isn't that funny? Isn't that funny? If I didn't know any better, so the 9/11 false flag that created the war on terror and predicated the Homeland Security Act, it was the justification for the Homeland Security Act, which then created Department of Homeland Security. Boy, that sure does seem like a problem reaction solution to me, you know, because when you take a look at what the Department of Homeland Security is, what it was designed to be, you couldn't have created an agency like that without some catastrophic and catalyzing event like a new Pearl Harbor. And yet we got one. So in the immortal words of Rahm Emanuel, never let a good crisis go to waste. And so in the ashes of the World Trade Center buildings, they created the Department of Homeland Security and then put the FEMA group underneath it in terms of chain of command and hierarchy in the government. So they purposely moved FEMA, which the president controls, by the way, we'll talk a little bit about that, into the new DHS that they just got done PRSing into existence. And then they did something that could best be described as, well, I don't know, I guess kind of giving away the plan a little bit. They immediately put Michael Chertoff in charge of the Department of Homeland Security. Now, if you don't know who Michael Chertoff is, you need to get clear on who he is, okay? He's a Project for a New American Century Zionist who was deeply involved with the Bush administration and had major ties to Israel, okay? And if we're going to talk about 9/11, I mean, I think I've had plenty of shows on this. I'm going to go speak about 9/11. I mean, you have to understand that it wasn't 19 Arabs with box cutters, right? Like we understand that it was the United States and Israel and Saudi Arabia and Pakistan had a role in it too. But these are the two groups that were prominent in it. Michael Chertoff, right in the middle. Okay. So it's not accidental that he was named the head of the Department of Homeland Security. It was on the drawing board before the Department of Homeland Security even existed. It had to have been, because you would never put a guy like that. That is the guy. And they put him in. So I'm instantly suspicious of things like this. You know, and when you understand 9/11, it's hard to not be suspicious. When you go, the guy that you put in charge of DHS is part of the planning crew for 9/11. You know that, right? That Michael Chertoff was involved in that. Like, Project for a New American Century wrote a paper, a thesis, like a college paper, you know, about how we needed this new Pearl Harbor. And so rebuilding our defenses was what it was called. So Chertoff was deeply involved in it. And so this is, so anyway, We have 9/11. We get DHS. DHS says, roll FEMA underneath us and we'll go from there. They aren't even in the Department of Homeland Security for 2 years be, before they totally fuck up Hurricane Katrina in New Orleans. Okay. You know, that app, that's 2005. So they'd just been put in there. And when Brownie gets involved, and it's on, you know, it's incompetence on a level so extreme that it appears intentional. It's like the only explanation is that it was, you intentionally screwed this up. It's like, we have warehouses filled with pallets of drinking water, individualized drinking water, all there. We have people that are in desperate need of that drinking water. FEMA can't find can't get the water to the people. Their only job is to manage emergencies. And during emergencies, what do you need more than anything? Water. They've got the water there. They've got the people there. They just can't get the water to the people. But you're doing a heck of a job, Brownie. You're doing a heck of a job. As the Superdome turns into, I don't know, Thunderdome, and people are getting thrown off the top deck, and there's rapes happening. The Superdome, for those of you that don't know, is the gigantic enclosed dome stadium where the New Orleans Saints football team plays. Okay, and it's a shithole, but it's geographically in downtown, so it's a place where they could. It wasn't in the area that got overwhelmed. It wasn't in the low-lying area, so it was relatively above ground. It was a reasonable place to coordinate with survivors, but FEMA did it. You know what I mean? Like, if you were planning a concert and you're trying to make a bunch of money, you could have done a really good job there. But if you're FEMA and there's no repercussions, and you're going to get that $18 billion every year, how motivated are you going to be to actually do your job? You would think that saving human beings' lives would be enough of a motivation, but you would be wrong. So we had red tape there. We had an insufficient evacuation plan for New Orleans. New Orleans is like almost below sea level, if that's even possible. I mean, it is so low and so swampy and marshy, and the geography of and by the way, it's just like at the almost like center of the Gulf of Mexico. So it's a funnel for hurricanes. The idea of New Orleans getting hit by a hurricane is not novel, right? This has been happening, I would guess, forever. So the idea that you've got New Orleans, a city large enough that it's got its own professional football team and basketball team, and you know what I mean? Like, it's not a small city. Everybody knows about New Orleans. It's got a long history. It's been around it's one of the most interesting places in all of the United States. I spent my 50th birthday there. It's a trip, man. But again, it's not a surprise that it gets hit by hurricanes. And yet DHS didn't have an evacuation plan, or the one they had was insufficient. And they didn't think that the hurricane was going to hit them, even though, you know, we have satellites and maps and news, you know, all these things that DHS should, let's just cross our fingers. I'm pretty sure there were hundreds of people that died as a result of FEMA's incompetence. Like, it's not just, it's one thing if an earthquake hits and you don't know what's coming and it's kind of out of the blue. The technology we have these days, you can see a hurricane coming 4 days in advance. There's plenty of time to get everybody out, get buses, get people out of the lower wards and get them in out to Houston, which is where they were evacuating to, or whatever. You know, I mean, there's a million things you could have done differently. They acted like they were surprised that a hurricane actually hit New Orleans. And then when it did, they didn't have a plan for what they're supposed to do for this emergency, even though they are the federal emergency management agency. It's like they just woke up and everyone, it was their first day. So Bush had to send 7,000 troops to help out. FEMA had botched it so badly. And listen, Chertoff over at DHS, he dragged his feet on declaring Katrina an incident of national significance for 36 hours. For 36 hours during a fucking hurricane, you didn't do the thing that would allow the feds to get involved and get everybody out of that city. You didn't do it. Again, Michael Chertoff is involved in 9/11. He hates humanity. He wants to destroy this world. Do you think he accidentally didn't call the, you know, didn't declare Katrina a national incident of national significance is the technical term for 36 hours? You think he just slipped his mind? Was he on the golf course? Or is he the type of guy that just doesn't care? Actually, you know, listen, no better way to boost DHS's budget next year around than to get hit by a hurricane and then them say, well, listen, you know, if only we'd had more funds, we could have stopped this. You know, like we're doing with climate change. If only we had more taxes, we could change the sun. You know, so listen, I think that it's worth Department of Homeland Security is FEMA's boss, essentially. And the guy running DHS, DHS is like, Department of Homeland Security is like the Gestapo, right? And the guy running it, the head of it, is a dual U.S.-Israeli citizen who's deeply involved in 9/11, who is the guy whose company created the backscatter machines. Do you remember now you have to take your shoes off and go through security and put your hands up. By the way, don't ever do that. I make them give you the hand check. But, you know, you go into the machine, put your hands up and boop, boop, it spins around. Well, that's the newer version. There was a different version before that. And the company that DHS mandated that into all of the airports around the country and essentially, I think, eventually the world, and said, well, we've got to have this new security device. You know, we've got to check everybody. So they sent you through this machine. It was a backscatter machine, is what they call it. And the company that made the machine was owned by Michael fucking Chertoff. Okay? I mean, he owned the company. We're just going to pretend like there's not a massive conflict of interest there? Mistakes were made. Yeah. And I mean, so he's running DHS. And he described FEMA as being, quote, overwhelmed during Hurricane Katrina. Overwhelmed? Why? Why? You're in the emergency management business. That's an emergency. It's not. Listen, if a hurricane hit Seattle and you were unprepared, I would understand that. They don't get hit by hurricanes. It's not the water's not warm enough. It's geographically, they're not going to get hit by hurricanes. So if Seattle got blindsided by a hurricane and Michael Chertoff described them as being overwhelmed, I could understand. But if New Orleans or Houston or Miami get hit by hurricanes and you are overwhelmed, that's a management problem, not a nature problem. There's no big secret about where hurricanes form and which direction they come in from and where they wind up. The only question is exactly which of the three doors it's going to go through. You know, door number one, it's going to make a hard right and go up the eastern seaboard and turn into nothing, except the hurricane that was happening off the coast of New York City on 9/11, September 11th, 2001. Do you know about that hurricane? That's a whole nother story. I'm not getting into that one. I'm unprepared to talk about that today or maybe ever. But you get a couple choices with hurricanes, right? So they can veer off course. But if a big one's coming and it's in the Gulf of Mexico and you're New Orleans, get ready. The idea of you being overwhelmed is unacceptable. And pre-Chertoff, back in 92, with Hurricane Andrew, the same thing happened. FEMA just threw their hands up and they said, we can't believe there was a huge hurricane that came to. You can't? What part of hurricane don't you understand? You're in Florida, okay? Oh, so mistakes were made in New Orleans and the place was a disaster. You know that. You saw it. Anyone that was paying attention saw that. But do you remember what happened in the aftermath of that? They couldn't save the people of New Orleans during the hurricane because that would actually require them to do their jobs. So they decided to save the people after the hurricane, which is nice of them. And do you remember what they did in order to do that? They started a fund and they raised $130 million in this fund to help these victims. Do you remember what the name of that fund was? The Bush-Clinton-Katrina Fund. Bushes and Clintons working together, you say? On a fund, no less. $130 million goes into this fund. Where does it go? Who knows? My guess is that it went into the Hurricane Katrina fund, and then it did a U-turn and hung a right and went south to the Cayman Islands, where it's in a bank account there. That's my guess. I could be wrong. By the way, speaking of anomalies on 9/11, and I mentioned that there was a hurricane churning off the coast of New York, which nobody ever talks about. Totally normal. I don't know, directed energy? Maybe. But there was something else that was unique that was going to happen that was scheduled. It was on the calendar for September 12th, something called Operation Tripod. You ever hear of Operation Tripod? September 12th, 2001, New York City, a bioterrorism drill. Oh, you don't say. Scheduled the day after 9/11. What a surprise. And it was practicing the distribution of antibiotics, and it was being headed by FEMA. So again, and I want to have Ole Damegard back on so we can talk false flags. A lot of times, the drills that mimic the event are used as an opportunity to pre-position assets in a logical and reasonable way into the crime scene in advance of the crime. So when you know you're doing 9/11, and these guys, I'm not saying that everybody working at FEMA knew it. My guess is that nobody or very few people at FEMA knew that this was happening, you know, the people at the top. And you want your people to be in New York City in advance of September 11th, you schedule a drill for, you can't schedule it for the 10th of September because the drill will be over and then everyone will go home. So you have to schedule it for, it's coming, so we're going to schedule it for the 12th. So let's get you there the 10th. And then you'll have a day in New York. You can just kind of hang out on the 11th and then you get ready. And then the real drill is going to happen on the 12th, except that September 11th happens the way it happens. And FEMA, coincidentally, happened to be there because of Operation Tripod. But again, I'm sure that's just a massive coincidence. But always control the scene. Always control the crime scene. FEMA's already in Lower Manhattan. So my question is, what role did FEMA play in the cover-up of 9/11? You know, it's a reasonable question to ask. And listen, with regard to 9/11, FEMA's powers are granted by executive order of the president, no congressional or judicial review. So when you've got Bush, who's deeply involved in this, he's not a mastermind planner. He, you know, but his administration knew what was going on. The office of the president is who FEMA really answers to. And so you've got yourself a little corrupted agency there that doesn't have to subject itself to the whims of congressional or judicial reviews. So, ever hear about FEMA camps? You've heard Alex Jones scream, "They're going to put you on a FEMA camp, and you know they're going to get you." Jade Helm, 2015, and you go, get out of here! That's crazy with you and your FEMA camps. I hate to break it to you, they're 100% real. Okay, there's no theoretical FEMA camps. They're real. They're out there, and they've even divided the United States into 10 FEMA regions. Did you know that? Region 1, headed in Boston. Region 1 is responsible for the states of Connecticut, Massachusetts, Maine, New Hampshire, Rhode Island, and Vermont. So just if you're scoring at home, tell me what region you're in. Okay. Region 2, New York City. This is New York, New Jersey, Puerto Rico, U.S. Virgin Islands. Region 3, based in Philly. This is responsible for Pennsylvania, District of Columbia, Delaware, Maryland, Virginia, and West Virginia. Region 4, headquartered out of Atlanta. This is for Georgia, Alabama, Florida, Kentucky, Mississippi, North Carolina, South Carolina, and Tennessee. Region 5, Region 5 is based in Chicago. This will handle Illinois, Indiana, Michigan, Minnesota, Ohio, and Wisconsin. FEMA Region 6, Denton, Texas. This is going to be responsible for the states of Texas, Arkansas, Louisiana, New Mexico, and Oklahoma. Region 7, Kansas City. So it'll cover states Missouri, Iowa, Kansas, Montana, and Nebraska. FEMA Region 8, where I am, headquartered in Denver. This will handle Colorado, Montana, North Dakota, South Dakota, Utah, Wyoming. FEMA Region 9 is Oakland. This will be for California, Arizona, Hawaii, Nevada, Guam, and American Samoa. And lastly, FEMA Region 10, Bothell, Washington, Washington, Oregon, Idaho, and Alaska. The camps are for continuity of government purposes. So let's talk about why FEMA's continuity of government background is so absolutely terrifying to me. Let's start with something called Garden Plot. Garden Plot is the Department of Defense Civil Disturbance Plan. It's the U.S. Army and the National Guard combined, okay? This is how to respond to major domestic civil disturbances. It's the Watts riots. In the 60s, it just happened. They activated Garden Plot. So the Watts riots had just happened. They realized they needed something that was going to be a blend of like the National Guard and the Army in case these uppity black folks started rioting again. And they wound up getting another opportunity to use it on uppity black folks that were rioting again in 1992 for the LA Rodney King riots. I lived through that. I've mentioned that many times before. I was there in South Central Los Angeles going to college. And it kicked off in a hurry. I mean, and it was like, I would imagine like kind of like being in a war zone where you go outside and look around and there's smoke, you know, there's just smoke everywhere and a very uneasy feeling. You want to talk about a bad vibe? It was a bad vibe. But so this Garden Plot is part of what they call the Master Military Contingency Plan. Okay, so they've used this in the past and they've always got it kind of in their back pocket. And so with regard to FEMA was kind of an offshoot of this Department of Defense Civil Disturbance Plan. They realized they needed a separate, you know, sort of a federal agency for that. And then this is where FEMA came out of in 1979 by Jimmy Carter. And so Reagan comes in the following year, 1980, and he names a guy named Louis Giuffrida as the new FEMA chief. And Giuffrida and Ollie North and a guy named Brinkerhoff, Giuffrida, Ollie North, Brinkerhoff create an exercise called Rex 84. You might have heard of Rex 84 before. It stands for Readiness Exercise 84. 1984 was the year in which it had gone off. Now, it gets a lot of notoriety, the Rex 84 does, but there was an 83 version and an 82 version as well. But it wasn't quite as filled with spooks like Ollie North and guys like that. It was more like an actual preparation exercise, whereas Rex 84 gave everybody the creeps that it was really more of like a secret covert continuity of government plan for like if something goes down, then this is how we're going to deal with it. So when they were running Rex 84, there was a secondary event that was happening parallel to it. It was something called Operation Night Train. And this was to invade. So what they were doing was this. They have Operation Night Train, which was to invade an unspecified country in Central America, which everyone assumed was Nicaragua because we have the Iran-Contra situation going on during this time. And so they were basically running this simulation, this Rex 84. They say, what if we did this? We start a war in Central America, and then Americans are very angry about that. So the starting the war in Central America is the Night Train, Operation Night Train. And then the Rex 84 is the response to the general public in the United States. Once they hear about us invading this country, they're going to be very angry. And so what we're going to do is we're going to run a simulation of what that might look like. We're going to pretend like we're invading a country in Central America, and then we're going to pretend like there's a ton of outrage in America, because there would be, and then we're going to imprison all those people. That's the plan. We're going to round up all those people that are angry about this war, and we're going to put them in American concentration camps. And everyone went, "Are you out of your fucking mind?" And they're like, "No, not even a little bit. This is the plan. This is what we're doing." And Ollie North was running it, okay, along with these guys, the head of FEMA. So when I say continuity of government, I'm not kidding. That's what FEMA is doing. They are, if the government becomes incapable, unable, or unwilling to run the country, somebody has to do it. And you know who steps up and does it? According to this, would be FEMA. So I think it's changed a little bit. I think Rex 84 really threw people off. They took a look at this and they went, "Holy shit, man. I thought part of the exercise was like those angry Americans, you were going to go talk to them and calm them down, not round them up and put them in concentration camps." He's like, "We're not talking to these people. If they have a problem with us invading this, you know, theoretical Central American country, we'll just round them up and put them in concentration camps." It's like, yeah, but you guys actually are invading a Central American country. Is that what you're proposing to do to Americans? Their response was, "Maybe." It's an option. So that's part of the reason why Rex 84 scared people so much, because it basically, you know, you're imprisoning Americans in concentration camps if they disagree with the government's decision to unilaterally invade a Central American country to spread democracy or whatever the fuck we tell ourselves we're doing down there. So, no, yeah. I mean, I would be raised, man, isn't there, can we run the scenario where like you don't invade the Central American country and then there's no need to do the Rex 84 part because nobody's mad because you aren't doing, no, that's not, clearly that's not an option. This is the United Fruit plan. You know, this is the, we're going to go down there in Nicaragua and get ourselves some cheap bananas, whether it kills us or everybody that lives there. Let's talk a little bit about Ollie North, because this is a name that people heard throughout the 80s. And maybe, you know, if you're too young, you don't really know who he was. You just remember, maybe you remember the hearings. I was like 12 when all this stuff was going on, so I wasn't really paying attention. But I knew who Ollie North was. I knew what he looked like, and I didn't know the details of the story. But he was a National Security Council 1981 to 1986. So we're talking about Reagan years. He was fired for Iran-Contra. He is known on the streets. Word on the streets is that he was the guy that ordered the hit on Olof Palme in Sweden, the two-time prime minister of Sweden that was whacked. The word on the street, and it's a little bit better than just the word, was that that hit was ordered by Ollie North because Olof Palme knew too much about the Iran-Contra situation because he was involved in it. So they whacked him. It's a big deal when like the two-time prime minister of Sweden gets murdered. It's kind of noticeable. Ollie North won a Silver Star, a Bronze Star, and two Purple Hearts. And look, I mean, it's not unreasonable to make the connections that, like, you know, we talk about Biden, the Biden crime family. The left talks about how Trump was running some criminal enterprise. You know, maybe not. I don't know. But you know whose administration was filled with criminals was Ronald Reagan's. I mean, again, 8 years in office, 225 people in his administration were either fired, arrested, indicted, or convicted of various crimes, of either breaking the law or breaking their ethics codes that they took when going into office. And so, like, it's reasonable to say that during the 80s, the White House was running a criminal enterprise. Fuck. It's reasonable to say the White House has always been running a criminal enterprise, and it never really stopped. But Reagan was sloppy. A lot of his guys got caught. But there's a kind of a funny story as to how the, maybe funny, haha, funny, kind of like stupid, really. One of the reasons why Ollie North got busted for this whole thing was that he arranged for the Sultan of Brunei to send $10 million to help finance this Iran-Contra situation, right? And he said, you got it. We need money. You've got it. And we need you to get this money to the Contras. And the way we're going to do it is we're going to route it through a Swiss bank account. So you'll send the money there to that bank account, and then we'll kind of get it and manage it, and we'll make sure that the Contras get it. Except there was a problem. He was one digit off on the bank account number, and it went to the wrong guy. So some Swiss businessman like went to his bank account and like Monday morning, he's like, holy shit, somebody just put $10 million in my account. And apparently it came from the Sultan of Brunei. That was a mistake. It was supposed to go in some other bank account, but they're numbered, you know, doesn't say Bob Smith bank account. It says 825652, whatever, you know, and Ollie North was off by a digit. Oopsie. So this came out. A Senate committee that was investigating discovered this mistake. Of course, it was kind of hilarious. So Ollie North winds up getting convicted of three felonies that are all overturned on appeal, because nobody that's actually doing criminality inside the American government really goes to prison for it. Now he does TV shows. Isn't that convenient? Yeah, you know. He was involved in all this horrible shit. Now he's a hero. Now you can find him on Fox News all the time. So you've got George H.W. Bush, Clinton, Barry Seal, Arkansas, cocaine, CIA. All this stuff is happening during Iran-Contra, and Ollie North is deeply involved in it. But luckily now he's ready to make, you know, documentaries about America and how great America is. Can't wait to watch that. Let's talk a little bit more about Rex 84. So in the event that the president declares a national emergency, the federal government put together this classified scenario in which they round up large groups of Americans, right? So this was the criteria. Any citizen deemed by the feds for whatever reason to be a, quote, national security threat would be picked up and detained. All right. Now, this was a classified document. This is a classified scenario. This wasn't supposed to be like, you weren't supposed to know they were doing this. You weren't supposed to know. Maybe you know that they're practicing, but you weren't supposed to know that they were like, we're going to identify people as national security threats and then just arrest them and hold them indefinitely. So they talked about the large scale suppression and mass arrests with the purpose of suppressing the insurgents whenever unlawful assemblies of rebellion against the authority of the United States make it impractical to enforce law in any state or territory by the ordinary course of judicial proceedings. Okay. That's part of Operation Garden Plot, which was part of, you know, which was the precursor to FEMA and the precursor to Rex 84. So they have these secret contingency plans about what to do if they need to suspend the Constitution. And what would happen, talking about turning control of the U.S. over to FEMA, the appointment of military commanders to run state and local governments, all this stuff is role-played, mapped out, planned out, and everything. They're going to appoint military commanders to state and local government. So all those people that you voted for, all the people in your area, or maybe your governor or whatever, they're gone. They're not in control anymore. The FEMA is. And they're bringing their generals. They're going to take military generals, not FEMA generals, but American military generals, and put them in these places. So Mark Milley with his face full of makeup and his wokeness could be like the governor of Colorado, which would be ridiculous. But again, that this is what they're talking about. They're talking about doing this. This is part of the reason why when it came out, everyone went, Jesus, this is such a horrible idea. I can't even believe you guys thought of it. And they're like, horrible for you, not horrible for us, because we're going to be the ones in charge. I mean, you don't need to invade the United States. You just need to create the reason to justify a change, the suspension of the Constitution. Just create a big enough event so that you can, or pandemic, maybe. I don't know. Well, that'll get turned over to the World Health Organization. But if you've got a big enough event, FEMA gets involved. And if FEMA gets involved, then the military gets involved. And if the military gets involved, you're going into a FEMA camp. In one of the 10 regions I just talked about, pick the one best for you. So the National Security Council, which was what Oliver North was running, it's above FEMA in this hierarchy, right? Back in the 80s, it was. Now it's in DHS. But back in the 80s, it was above this. And so all these guys needed, all Ollie North and John Brinkerhoff needed for Rex 84 was just the right disaster. Isn't that funny? The right disaster. If only we could have the right disaster, you know, like 9/11. This Brinkerhoff guy, I want to talk about him for a second, because he was a retired U.S. Army colonel. Now, the reason why he was in charge, he was one of the three guys in charge of this, along with Ollie North and this Gefreda guy who was running FEMA, is because while Brinkerhoff was in college, he was in the war college, you know, because he's a military guy. And he wrote a paper advocating for American citizens to be rounded up and for martial law to be invoked so that, this is his words, not mine, so that 21 million Negroes can be detained if there is an uprising. Oopsie. So, of course, he became the associate director of FEMA. I mean, why? Of course, you're going to promote this guy. You're like, oh, tell us more about your plan to enslave 21 million black people under the guise of martial law. They're like, what you should be doing is sending him for a psych evaluation. Instead, what they're doing is promoting him, of course, because he became the associate director of FEMA from 1981 to 1983, where he took his college work, his war college plan, and used it when he was at FEMA. Fuck, they hired him based on it. They're like, we like what you're doing here. So they said, come develop a plan for American citizens to be rounded up. They don't necessarily have to be, quote, Negroes, as you say. We could just be anybody, right? We could just call them a national security threat. We just legally deem them a national security threat. Now, again, you hear this, we're talking about the 80s. And you go, well, that's ancient history. Think about it under today's context. What are they doing? Domestic terrorists. Same thing. They just need to label you a domestic terrorist. You're a terrorist in Wyoming, you know? Well, technically, you're in the American homeland, and the homeland is now a battlefield. So if you are labeled as a domestic terrorist operating on the homeland, you have no rights. You can be put away in these camps. You can be detained because you're Abu Nidal to them, you know? You're a brand name terrorist. You might as well be. So this is the part that's, you know, it's really concerning that you bring in these guys that are writing papers about rounding people up, declaring martial law, whether it's a real need for it to be martial law or whether it's kind of ginned up for the purposes. And these are the people that were in charge of FEMA. Okay, this was their ideology. So when George Bush says, Brownie, you're doing a heck of a job, you have to ask the question, what is the job, right? If the job is to save everybody in New Orleans, you didn't do a very good job. We're making the assumption that that's the job and then laughing at Bush for saying, well, great job. You know, what a great job. You're telling this guy he did a great job. He just totally botched the entire Katrina thing. And you go, you know, you'd be like Bush turning around, looking at you going, how do you know what the job was? And you go, oh, I gotcha. So we're talking about American concentration camps. We're talking about continuity of government. It was believed at least during the 80s, it was believed that the ADL was going to be providing the list of who was deemed a national security threat. So we're just going to go outsource our little genocide project to Israel, right? What could possibly go wrong with that? That's a group of people that know a thing or two about genocide as well. So maybe let's not do that. Okay. Again, that was a rumor that the ADL, or not a rumor, but it was believed that they'd be involved. They probably would be involved. I mean, I don't know. I don't know. Somebody's got to make the list, right? So, according to Rex 84 Alpha Explan, which is X-Plan, which is the, it's the playbook for Rex 84, for the drills that happened. Rex 84 happened. It happened on April 5th through April 13th, 1984, under FEMA as a civil readiness exercise. Again, there's nothing wrong with running drills. There's nothing wrong with having exercises and getting better and practicing. That's what firemen do that all the time. Police, you know, allegedly do that all the time with their going to the gun range and learning how to be more accurate as they shoot your dog. So I don't have a problem necessarily that they're practicing. In fact, frankly, you guys need to practice a lot. But the problem is what you're practicing, because this is while they're running, you know, they're running Night Train 84 at the same time, and Night Train 84 is the invasion of a Central American country. And they're running that in parallel with Rex 84, which is like the reaction squad for, you know, Night Train is going to go destabilize Central America. Rex 84 is going to make sure if anyone's got a fucking problem with it, they don't have a problem with it anymore. You know what I mean? They're going to be rounded up and put in camps. Problem solved. So FEMA was running this operation, drill, whatever you want to call Rex 84. But there were 35 other federal civil departments and agencies that were involved in it as well, including the CIA, what a surprise, the FBI, the Veterans Affairs Department, the Department of Treasury was involved, the Secret Service was involved in Rex 84. Everybody was in on it. Everybody knew what the plan was, okay? This is the feds, and this is to test military assistance in civil defense. Military assistance in civil defense. That's a really nice way of describing martial law. Okay. So this whole thing, this Rex 84 was coordinated with the Joint Chiefs in order to create a worldwide military command post exercise based on multi-emergency scenarios. Okay. So, it wasn't just the United States. It's inside and outside of the United States. You got to have the Joint Chiefs involved in this if you're going to talk about homogenizing a response, militarily outside of the borders of the United States. So, so what they were doing, they were trying with Rex 84, they were trying to create a scenario in which they could test out to see, you know, the anticipated civil unrest, demonstrations, boycotts, labor strikes, all of the things that they thought would come as a result of the fake Night Train 84, which maybe really wasn't all that fake because they were covertly doing this at the same time. But whether it's a Central American country or just invading China, you know what I mean? Or starting, you know, sending troops to Ukraine. Let's just use that as an example, since it's relevant to us. But sending troops to Ukraine now, today, right? All of a sudden, CNN announces that Joe Biden has declared that he's going to send 300,000 American troops to Ukraine. What would the response be? He'd be like, there is no way I'm supporting this. This is crazy, right? Rex 84 was simulating what they would do to all of us people that were angry. Civil unrest, demonstrations, boycotts, labor strikes. That's what they were simulating. They were simulating that the American people would be so disgusted with what the American government was doing that they would get out in the streets and protest all these things. Now, keep in mind, you've got this garden plot, which was hatched in the ashes of the Watts riot. So they saw what happened when a bunch of people got rightly pissed off about something the government was doing and decided we're burning this motherfucker to the ground, right? So they come out of that and just, and I think it's just easier for us to use Ukraine as an example. If all of a sudden, let's just say your son is in the military and all of a sudden today they announced, we're going to Ukraine full blown. And you go, oh my God, that's a meat grinder over there. Russia isn't even using their good stuff on Ukraine. And we're going to send our guys over there to fight for Joe fucking Biden's bio labs and the money laundering. There is no way I'm supporting this. Absolutely right. There would be so much anger. There'd be a lot of support from the dipshits on the left, of course, but they don't know anything. But there would be so much anger that the government would have to do something. Problem, reaction, solution, right? So they have, the problem is, the problem for us is that they have the solution already picked out, and it's concentration camps. And they have a group in charge of running that, and it's FEMA. And they have run drills simulating this, Rex 84. And they are doing things that will make you rightly angry, the Ukraine war. So we're one step away from this not being some drill that was run 40 years ago that nobody cares about, to instead this being a blueprint for our own enslavement, right? And guess what the answer is? Guess what? When they ran this scenario, and they decided, they came up with an idea for an answer. You know what the answer was? More fucking government. What a surprise, right? Specifically, the government ordered movement of people. Okay, this was to happen at the regional and state level. They're moving people. When they use terms like moving or relocating people, it doesn't mean that the moving vans are coming, you're packing all your stuff, and you're leaving Topeka, Kansas, and they're going to put you in some nice place on a farm in Oregon. No, it means they're moving you into a concentration camp. When they talk about the movement of people, they say it's going to be handled at the regional and state levels. Okay. Some of the people that are being moved are being put in prison. Okay. This is where they're going. They're going to put them into these camps. They are also going to be imposing martial law, putting the military in charge of the government. We know this because they role played it. And that's what happened. Okay. So that's what they're doing. The plan is to impose martial law, put the military in charge of the government. Not that they could fuck it up any worse than the politicians. Let's give the military a chance. How bad could it be, right? I mean, they're almost politicians, you know. So anyway, that's kind of what they have planned for us. They've used this 40 years ago. But the idea is still solid as far as they're concerned. The idea that, the concepts are still relevant. We're going to do something that's deeply unpopular. The people are going to speak out against it. We're going to have to shut these people up. Where can we put them? What can we do with them? You start rounding people up, man, in large numbers, the word gets out. And then people start heading for the exit. So be very careful with you Donald Trump supporters out there that are begging for the wall. I want border security too, but be very careful about walls. They're just as easy to keep people in as keep people out. So DHS and FEMA have run, DHS, parent company, FEMA underneath them, have run programs that you may have heard of, you might not have. It's called Integrated Capstone Events. All right. This is through the Center for Domestic Preparedness. This is a mass casualty training events. There was a really well-known integrated capstone event that was a joint venture between DHS and FEMA that I got one of the playbooks for, like the equivalent of the Rex 84 Alpha X plan, the paperwork saying this is how we're going to do it. They make those for these integrated capstone events. They make them so that you know where you're supposed to be on day one of the simulation and who's going to be there and where you check in, and everybody must check in at these events. Wink, wink. Know what I'm talking about? Everybody must check in. If you know the sign, then you know what I'm talking about. There was an event in Newtown, Connecticut that was an integrated capstone event at a school that we're not allowed to talk about. But I got that paperwork too. Okay. I've read the playbook on that. That's why I know it's fake. This is from Attorney General William Smith. This is about FEMA trying to bypass the government during emergencies. Quote, "This department and others have repeatedly raised serious policy and legal objections to the creation of an emergency czar role for FEMA. Specific policy concerns regarding recent FEMA initiatives include the abandonment of the principle of several agency responsibility and the expansion of the definition of severe emergencies to encompass routine domestic law enforcement emergencies. Legal objections relate to the absence of presidential or congressional authorization for unilateral FEMA directives which seek to establish new federal government management structures." I'll cut through the mumbo jumbo of that. This attorney general, William Smith, was freaked out about what FEMA was doing, because what he was saying was, you know, you guys are there for these severe emergencies that we're supposed to have, these catastrophes. And my problem is that you're expanding the definition of what a catastrophe is to include a bunch of really normal stuff. And it seems to us that maybe your idea of an emergency and our idea of emergencies are two different things. And we know how much governments love to, quote, govern during emergencies. We saw this with COVID, with the use of the emergency use authorization, and all of the laws kind of went out the window. It became like top-down authoritarian with some of these state governors and even local mayors, and they were able to do things that they rightly wouldn't be able to do during normal times, but it was under an emergency, and you know, you can do kind of whatever you want during that. So they love emergencies because it gives them, nobody questions them. Well, very few people question, we question them, but the general public is terrified during emergencies. So they just say, "Help me, daddy government, please come in and do all the things that you need to do to save us from this gigantic problem that you more than likely created. And we're supposed to thank you for it." So that's kind of the problem I have with these emergencies, is that, you know, what's the definition of an emergency? You know, it gets abused, and you would like to think that it wouldn't be, it wouldn't just be used on anything. But look at the Biden administration. You know, they tried to use OSHA to force people into taking vaccines against their will. I mean, anything is on the table. These people are out of their minds. They hate you. They have no respect for you. They don't care for you. They want to put you in concentration camps. It's in their documents. They have built these camps. They are building FEMA regions for you to go to, for me to go to. All right, I'll see you. Where am I? I'm going to be in... I'll be in FEMA Region 8 if you guys need me, okay? I'll be up against the wall first, right? By the way, if the blue helmets ever come to the United States, I'm out of here. So I'll be doing this show from an undisclosed location someplace, and I'll have a really good tan. I'll just leave it at that. Lastly, if you want the cherry on top, just remember 2007, when California had huge wildfires and FEMA was screwing it up as they always do, they held a press conference. They didn't invite the press to the press conference until 10 minutes before the press conference was about to be started. So the press didn't have actual time to get there, but they did need to invite them. What they did instead was they took a bunch of FEMA employees and they put them in the audience. Because there were no actual reporters, the reporters got the message 10 minutes ago that there was some sort of press conference that was going to happen, and I guess maybe they were going to be on their way soon. But FEMA didn't want real journalists there asking questions, so they took their own employees, pretended they were journalists, put them in the audience, and had them ask the directors of FEMA softball questions that the guy could hit out of the park. That's FEMA for you. It's not, they're not just incompetent, they're also evil. Well, what would you expect from a federal government? Hey, if you like this episode, you can take the additional step right now of sharing it with your friends and family. We appreciate it so much. It helps this show grow. Also, if you like the show, please rate it. I really don't care a ton about that, but it helps with the algorithms. And if we're going to play this game, we might as well play it to win. So rate the show if you can. It's easy to do. It takes you 2 seconds. Write a little review. And if you want to connect with me, the website is theoctopusofglobalcontrol.com, or you can follow me on Twitter at macroaggressions. Thanks, everybody. I'll talk to you again soon.
In just got legendary. Get ready to chase the rush, spin, win, and redeem instantly straight to your bank account at legendswithaz.com. With free-to-play slots, blackjack, keno, roulette, and more, experience all the thrills of Vegas without leaving your couch. Legends has it all.
Legends is a free-to-play social casino. Void where prohibited. Must be 18 plus. Play responsibly. Visit legends.com for full details.
Get in the game now and score a 50% bonus on your first purchase only at legendswithaz.com.
Coda has turned up the frequency. Buses are running more often across Central Ohio. Starting this September, you'll see expanded weekend service on the east and north sides, including the Easton and Polaris corridors. Plus, there are added weekday trips downtown from New Albany, Canal, Winchester, and Tuttle. It's more service, more connections, and more ways to move across the city. Discover the enhanced schedule at coda.com/service changes. That's coda.com/service changes.
You won't see the engineer that slams the Nissan Rogue's door 13,920 times, or the corrosive chamber that simulates 15 years of life in 5 months, or the Rogue heat-baked for over 300 combined hours. What you will see is a vehicle that can take punch after punch and keep rolling. Nissan, number one in new vehicle quality among mainstream brands by J.D. Power. We put it through the worst, so you get its best. For J.D. Power 2025 U.S. Initial Quality Study Award information, visit jdpower.com/awards. Awards based on 2025 model year. Newer models may be shown.
Save big money on your roofing project at Menards with Owens Corning Shingles. Your roof is the first line of defense against the elements and enhances the appearance of your home's exterior. Owens Corning Duration Shingles offer ultimate protection and impressive curb appeal. Choose from 24 colors of Owens Corning Duration Shingles and transform your home today. Plus, check out our weekly flyer on Menards.com for all the great deals happening now.
Save big money at Menards.
Pro Savings Days are back at Lowe's. My Lowe's Pro Rewards members save even more with limited-time doorbuster deals. Save $5 on 24-count Contractor's Choice 42-gallon trash bags, now just $14.78. Plus, get your choice select DeWalt Elite Series saw blades for $9.98. Not a Pro Rewards member? Join for free today at Lowe's. Valid through 9/17. Selection varies by location. While supplies last. Loyalty program subject to terms and conditions. See Lowe's.com/terms for details. Subject to change.
L-E-T-E-N-P-C.
Your night in just got legendary. Get ready to chase the rush, spin, win, and redeem instantly straight to your bank account at legendswithaz.com. With free-to-play slots, blackjack, keno, roulette, and more, experience all the thrills of Vegas without leaving your couch. Legends has it all.
Legends is a free-to-play social casino. Void where prohibited. Must be 18 plus. Play responsibly. Visit legends.com for full details.
Get in the game now and score a 50% bonus on your first purchase only at legendswithaz.com.
Coda has turned up the frequency. Buses are running more often across Central Ohio. Starting this September, you'll see expanded weekend service on the east and north sides, including Easton and Polaris corridors. Plus, there are added weekday trips downtown from New Albany, Canal Winchester, and Tuttle. It's more service, more connections, and more ways to move across the city. Discover the enhanced schedule at coda.com/service changes. That's coda.com/service changes.